T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining me right now, guys, a very good follow on Twitter, covers the NBA for The Athletic. His name is Zach Harper. Zach, I think it's the first time we've talked. How are you, sir?
I'm excellent. Are you okay? You sound like Doc Rivers.
It's kind of funny. I am not okay. I usually don't sound like this. This is not my permanent voice, just in case. Because you'd probably be thinking, seriously, this guy's on the radio every freaking day with that horrible voice? You have a very nice voice, by the way. And I would tell you that if you want to be as long-winded as possible, it would be greatly appreciated, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I got you. I can talk all day. So you say a subject, I'll go.
All right. The New York Knicks traded Kristaps Porzingis. Go!
Oh, man. What a disaster. Now, it could end up being good, because They are trying to create their dynasty, or not even dynasty. They're trying to create a culture through free agency, and that's a very difficult thing. They tried to do that in 2010, and it didn't go well. Right? They got Amari, and it was fine. He was fine for a while, but they didn't get LeBron, and they didn't get Dwayne Wade, and they didn't get Chris Bosh. And so they're trying to do that again. And there are a lot of whispers around the league that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are hoping to sign with the Knicks and revive the Knicks organization, and if that happens, fantastic. My question is, once you've traded Kristaps Porzingis and your best assets to prove to a big-time free agent that they should sign with you are, you know, a top 5 pick in this year's draft, Dennis Smith Jr. and Kevin Knox, what is your pitch? Like, that's my question to the Knicks. What is their free agency pitch? Is it simply, please come save us, or is it, we have this plan? Because let's say that they even get Zion Williamson in the draft. Zion Williamson is going to be a very exciting player. He might be a very good player. Kevin Durant is not looking to sign with rookie Zion Williamson. Like, that's not what veteran stars in the NBA do. You could be the best rookie of all time. They're not going to care. They're just not. Like, veterans don't want to sign with young players. They want to play with guys who can help them win now. And so I just don't understand what the Knicks are doing if they fail on this free agency venture. If they sign the guys they want, fantastic. You can start building. But it's a risky proposition.
Well, why do you think Kevin Durant wants to come here then? Because obviously the rumblings are coming from somewhere. Is it the idea that he can be that guy that turned around a franchise that literally for Kevin Durant's basically entire lifetime of watching and playing basketball has been a joke? Is that the appeal? Because obviously he's got to have some appeal to even be interested to begin with.
You're right, and that's got to be the appeal. It's got to be the appeal of, all right, people didn't like my move to the Warriors. I'm getting no credit for my titles. I'm getting no credit for my Finals MVP. What can I do? Well, I like New York. If my friend Kyrie wants to come hang out with me in New York, like, that could work, and we could be a very good team in the East. And if we revive this, I mean, if you win a championship in New York with the Knicks, that will trump anything. He could win 7 straight titles with the Warriors, and that one championship with the Knicks will mean more for his legacy. And so if that's the case, if that's what he feels, I get it. Like, he's someone who wants to control his legacy. He wants to make a lot of money. You can do both those things in New York. But his measurement of what people are going to think about his actions is usually pretty off. Like, he doesn't seem to get that.
Yeah, the sense you get from Kyrie Irving is what? Because he wanted to get out of Cleveland, he got that, he goes to a pretty good team in Boston, and now he's kind of reopened the door to him leaving. What's your sense about Kyrie right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's also trying to control the next part of his career. I mean, if you think about it, like, when he left Cleveland because he knew LeBron wasn't going to be there anymore.
Right.
Like, he
right.
knew LeBron wasn't staying. Everyone knew LeBron wasn't staying. And so it was like, all right, do I want to be the guy in Cleveland? No, you don't want to be in Cleveland. And he didn't exactly get to pick, oh, I want to be in Boston. Now, it's worked out so far. It's a nice situation. They could contend for titles with that team. Like, that's a very good situation. But it also wasn't his choice. And so for the first time in a long time, he gets to choose where his career goes. And as we've listened to some of the nonsense that's come out of his mouth and some of the good stuff that's come out of his mouth, but, you know, it's a lot of nonsense. He's someone who really wants to control the narrative of not just his life, but, you know, life in general. His empowerment is very important to him. And so I think for him, you know, he said the things that the season ticket holders wanted to hear for the Celtics in early October. He said, hey, if you guys will have me, I plan on re-signing. I bet he did plan on re-signing there. And I bet he plans on exploring his free agency options. And when he says he doesn't owe anybody bleep, I think he truly believes that. And when he says that he doesn't want to deal with stuff till July 1st, I think he believes that. I think the comments of I plan to resign were to buy him time and avoid those questions during the season. But you're only going to avoid those questions for so long.
Talking to Zach Harper of The Athletic, do you think this talk is good for the league? Or is it kind of bad because we're not talking about things on the court right now?
It's perfect for the league. The league thrives on chaos. The league thrives on social media headlines. The league, and the league thrives on the court as well. But this is Super Bowl week. Have you heard a lot about the Super Bowl this week?
No.
In the sports world? Like, I haven't. And granted, I'm very ingrained in the NBA world. But, like, there's a game tomorrow. There's a big game tomorrow. I'm not talking about the Grizzlies game. Like, there's a huge game tomorrow. And the NBA has dominated the headlines of Super Bowl week in the sports world. Like, that's a big deal. And so they love this attention.
Do you think that the attention is good, but do they like the aspect that, small market teams draft a young player and basically there's a clock ticking on, hey, we better put a championship team around him because eventually this guy's going to want to leave. Giannis seems like an exception, but that's exactly what's now turned out with Anthony Davis. Is that something the league is going to be motivated? I know they've tried to change it in the past. It just hasn't worked. Is that something they look at as they're going to try again to change that aspect of the league?
Yeah, I think they're always going to try to tweak that with each collective bargaining agreement, and it works for a little bit until the players and agents realize the way to navigate it, and then it becomes kind of useless. That's a big issue for the league, and they want to make sure that small markets are able to thrive and that they're good businesses and they're teams that the fan bases want to support. But let's also not get it twisted on this. Like, the Pelicans have screwed up.
Yeah,
the Pelicans have been terrible at putting a team around Anthony Davis. It reminds me a lot of the way the Minnesota Timberwolves were terrible at putting a good team around Kevin Garnett. And some people will be like, well, remember when they had Sam Cassell and Latrell Sprewell? Yeah, that was two seasons. And the first season was great. The second season, Latrell Sprewell and Sam Cassell wanted big money. They won a new contract, and the entire thing fell apart. Like, that was a blip on the radar in terms of success. And you've seen similar things with the Pelicans. They didn't get to the conference finals by any means, but last year was probably the most successful they'll ever be. And they lost in five games in the second round to the Warriors, right? And this team, this franchise has just made bad decision after bad decision. And so, yeah, like, I think it's great that these guys, these young players, can boost these small markets. And you do have a clock because now players are all about empowerment. They're all about legacy. They're all about making sure that they get to control big aspects of their career. And if you screw up and in 8 years you can't put a decent team or a contending team around a generational talent, yeah, you should probably lose that player.
Yeah. I don't know. Are you a baseball fan at all, by the way, Zach? I'm curious.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So you know the Expos basically don't exist because of the 94 strike. Like,
yep,
literally,
absolutely,
they would have been maybe a championship team. They would have gotten a new stadium. Everything would have changed. I kind of look on a smaller vein, DeMarcus Cousins' Achilles injury being that for Anthony Davis. Like, if he's healthy and maybe they go further in the playoffs and maybe he re-signs, isn't it completely different right now for that franchise and Anthony Davis?
I think so, but I also... It was a weird fit. I think eventually they would have figured it out with DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis together, especially with Drew Holiday there. But it was a weird fit. Like, that team took off last season after the injury because they changed the entire way they wanted to play. They sped things up. They played a really running gun style of play that fits Alvin Gentry's MO in the first place. And that's when they really took off and thrived, and they were able to blitz the Blazers in the playoffs. But yeah, like, eventually you need talent, and you need star talent next to star talent. And they had that, whether you believe in DeMarcus Cousins or not. Like, he's a hell of a player. And so, yeah, like, I think that greatly affected their long term, but I think short term they were always going to screw this up.
Where do you think he ends up ultimately?
In 2020, he'll be a Laker. Before that, I have no idea. I really have no idea. I think the Celtics will trade for him. I mean, depends on what happens with Kyrie Irving this summer. I think the Celtics will have the best chance to trade for him. But eventually, like, he's going to the Lakers. Like, I have no doubt about that. It seems entirely set up for that. And the way that the trade negotiations have gone, the way that the message from Rich Paul has gone to the Pelicans, it seems pretty clear that That is their preferred destination. That is the eventual destination, no matter what. You can look at the Paul George stuff and say, well, the Lakers kind of bungled that. And they did. They absolutely did. But that's a different situation. They didn't have, you know, Paul George doesn't have LeBron's agent.
Yeah, no kidding. We're talking to Zach Harper. I am one of the few true Brooklyn Net fans. All right. I actually root for this team my entire life. I'm obviously very much enjoying this season. Do you think, because I think in New York what happens is Knicks fans, and maybe rightfully so, dismiss the Nets. They say no one cares about the Nets. No one would ever want to come to the Nets. They're a second-class citizen, and a lot of that is true. Do you think, though, that they will get a piece, that will they get a seat at the table with some of these free agents? Because they obviously have put together a very good young roster. They have the cap room. What's kind of that national take on what the Nets would be able to do potentially in free agency?
Yeah, it's hard to know if they'll be able to land those big free agents like a Kawhi Leonard, a Jimmy Butler, whatever, right? I think most likely they end up, like, their big free agent get is, like, Tobias Harris. Like, I think that seems to be a guy they definitely can get and probably will get in free agency. But in terms of just their reputation around the league, everyone loves what they're doing. They love the direction Sean Marks is taking this team. They love the fact that he seems to have full control over this and that you don't have ownership meddling. They love the development and the coaching of Kenny Atkinson. They see how good these young players are becoming, how much the veterans buy in. Like, they're, you know, we always talk about market size or ownership, all this stuff. You got to have a culture. And the Nets have gone from having no culture at all or a hilarious culture that was not conducive to success
right.
to having like a culture people respect. Like, that team is respected right now, and I think they will get key free agent meetings. I think they'll get meetings with Kawhi. I think they'll get meetings with Jimmy Butler. They may even get a meeting with someone like Klay Thompson. I don't think getting them is going to be, you know, a fruitful situation, but in terms of being no longer a joke and having a chance to carve into that free agency, but yeah, I think that's a realistic thing, and I think they'll get a good player. I just don't think they'll get that star. And,
you know, it's funny, you name the guy who realistically I would love. I mean, obviously I'd love Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard, but I think Tobias Harris would be an outstanding fit for the Nets, and I think he's one of the more underrated guys in the league. I mean, I think he's a legitimate all-star snub, so if you're telling me that's who they end up with, I think I'd be almost pretty happy with what went down in free agency.
Absolutely. And I mean, look, you want to make the big splash, but you got to take those steps, right? This organization has been all about taking smaller, smarter steps ever since they changed the regime and everything. And that's a step forward in the right direction. This time you get Tobias Harris, maybe next time you get Kevin Durant or Anthony Davis, right? I mean, it's a big leap at some point, but you have to just keep putting yourself in better position. And someone like Tobias Harris can hoop. Like, good scorer. I agree. Yeah. He should have been on the All-Star team. Like, he was a Western Conference Player of the Month to start the season. Like, he could play. If they get a player like that, with everything they're developing, a good draft pick, all of a sudden, like, that team's in good position.
How do you handicap the East right now? It's unfortunate what happened in Indiana with Oladipo's injury. I think, obviously, they dropped down quite a few notches. But give me your kind of halfway point handicap on the look of this Eastern Conference going into the postseason.
I think Milwaukee's currently the best team. I think they're overlooked. And, I mean, they have the biggest point differential. They have the best record in the East. Like, they've got a great defense, a great offense. Mike Budenholzer has been incredible. Like, it's night and day from what Jason Kidd was trying to do with that team the last couple of years. So I think they're currently the best team. But they don't have a lot of playoff experience. They don't have a lot of playoff success. And you can't really skip the line in those situations. Like, you gotta build that up. So I'm a little curious how they'll be able to respond to game plans against them in a 7-game series. But right now, I think they're the best team. I think Toronto's second. I think Boston is third and climbing. And I think Philly's right there with those teams, but there's something missing. I don't know if it's depth. I don't know if it's another shooter. I don't know what it is, but there's something missing. And it might just be they need more time to fit those guys together.
Makes sense. Zach, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much, sir.
Absolutely. Get some tea and some honey or something. Oh. Like. Yeah, don't talk for 36 hours. It'd be great.
Thank you, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.